Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We had an entire show planned here today, and then breaking news happened. Yeah. DJ Jeffries has released some big news, and so I am going to throw it to Brad, and he is going to get
We got Gary
on. One and only.
I'll just read the tweet here, JR, Justin, if you will, because this is the most important thing that just broke right before the show, and it says, after careful consideration, prayer, and countless hours from DJ's Twitter account, hours of consulting my family, I decided to reopen recruitment. It was a hard decision, but I am confident. I'm confident that taking my time to choose the right school for me to better myself educationally and athletically is the right choice. I don't know what all that means, but I've got Gary Parrish on. Gary, can you make sense of this? First of all, was this a surprise to you? And just kind of take us through it if you could.
It's not a surprise that he decommitted, because even before he committed to Kentucky, I and other people were saying, but if Penny gets the job, you know, we'll see. There was always going to be a chance that they would flip him. So it's not surprising in a macro way, but it is surprising given how sure about Kentucky he sounded just a few weeks ago. He was, you know, at Peach Jam playing for Bluff City, and, you know, I asked him, you know, point blank, are other schools still recruiting you? And that was really just my way of asking, is Penny and Memphis, you know, recruiting you,
right,
trying to get you to decommit from Kentucky? And he said no, and actually went on to say that he hadn't even talked to Penny in months. He said that back in April he would get a text message every once in a while, just something like, hey, you played well, or keep working. But it wasn't really like trying to recruit, like, hey, you know, let's talk about maybe staying home. And I walked out of that thinking, all right, he's going to stay, you know, true to his commitment. And clearly today that is, that's now become untrue, because he is decommitted and reopened the process. And I imagine he will take some time, like you said, and I imagine he'll take some visits. But, I mean, let's just keep it real.
We know, like, where this is going, yeah.
You don't decommit from Kentucky to go to Ole Miss.
Right.
You know, you don't decommit from Kentucky to go to, you know, Tennessee. Mm-hmm. The only real reason to decommit from Kentucky is if you've decided to stay home and play for, you know, your former grassroots coach. And coincidentally, like, I flew home from Vegas with DJ Jeffries and his family late Saturday night. We were, a bunch of us were on the red eye back from Vegas to Atlanta. It was DJ Jeffries, Ole Miss coach Kermit Davis, Lionel Hollins was on the flight with us. And I said, what's up to him? But it never even, you know, and we said, what's up? It never occurred to me to ask again. So, hey, are you still 100% just going to sign with Kentucky? Because he sounded so sure of Kentucky and dismissive of everything else just a few weeks prior. And so I imagine, you know, whether it happens, you know, this month, next month, you know, in the winter or next spring, DJ Jeffries is at some point going to announce he's going to play at the University of Memphis. And, you know, I know the Kentucky staff's unhappy with this because, you know, this isn't one of those deals. Sometimes a staff will encourage you to decommit or start ignoring you in hopes that you will, because they've either seen something they didn't like with you recently, or they've signed a higher or committed a higher caliber of prospect. And I can just tell you that's not what happened here, because I sat with John Calipari and Tony Barbee at a Bluff City game at Peach Jam, and they were both very pleased with DJ, and he looked like a better player this summer than he did last summer. And, you know, I guess I can't get too specific because these conversations are supposed to be
right, confidential, sure.
Confident, but, like, mm-hmm. They were very happy with what they were seeing.
Yeah.
And it felt like they had got somebody who was going to be able to play for them. And I know also that before they accepted his commitment, you know, they talked to him about this. Like, hey, listen, if this is going to be a deal where it gets weird once Penny gets the Memphis job, let's just not do this. We don't have to do this right now. And, you know, he assured them that he was ready to commit to Kentucky and be a Wildcat. And, you know, otherwise they would have not accepted this commitment when they did, because – you know, A, you don't like to spend that much time on somebody and then lose them, but B, you don't, especially if you're John Calipari, you don't like to have a kid decommit and then go to the school that used to employ you, particularly when, you know, Memphis is also going heads up for James Wiseman, who is Kentucky's primary target. So I know the staff at Kentucky is upset. They did not expect this. They talked about this possibility with the Jeffries family and were told that this was not going to happen, but clearly things have changed.
Gary, is there any indication? I mean, you've spoken a lot about this before. Kind of the connection of not the connection, they're related, DJ Jeffries and the Lawsons. Is there any kind of indication with the Lawson family and Penny kind of reviving that relationship to where maybe that whether they're recruiting Chandler or the younger brother? Is that a thing possibly happening?
I wouldn't rule it out, but it's not something that I've heard changed in the past week. Like they suddenly decided, okay, we're going to get back on Chandler Lawson. But, I mean, clearly they could. I mean, recruiting is a lot like, you know, that roller coaster boyfriend-girlfriend you know. That, like, they're perhaps more when you're younger than our age, but still, they're never going to see each other again. But maybe they'll get together this weekend. Oh, well, now we're finished forever. Well, you know, what are you up to? Maybe we should give it one more shot. There's pauses and stops and restarts in recruiting all the time. And so, obviously, yes, you're right. Jeffries is related to the Lawson family. They are cousins, DJ Jeffries and Chandler Lawson. And certainly there's a scenario where Penny could absolutely clean up in Memphis with that whole class if he wanted to. You know, they're clearly in there with James Wiseman. I think now they're going to get DJ Jeffries. And if they wanted to add Chandler Lawson to that and make it three top 65 kids from the Memphis area, in addition to Malcolm Dandridge, who's a borderline 150 kid, they could certainly get that done. I think some of that might have to do with, can they get C.J. Walker? Can they get some of these other targets? But I wouldn't rule out – I would never say never with the Lawson family and the University of Memphis, if only because Chandler has made it pretty clear that he would like to – that he would certainly like to have the option of staying home. And so if they decide they want to start recruiting him again, it's as easy as a phone call to get that restarted.
I mean, where does Kentucky go from here? I mean,
they'll go out and sign five-star players.
Yeah,
it's not a big deal.
That sucks.
DJ Jeffries was probably going to be the lowest ranked player in their class.
Oh my God! Yeah.
Just because that's the way they recruit. They don't usually sign guys ranked outside of the top 35. And so this isn't devastating to Kentucky. It's perhaps frustrating and maybe embarrassing, but it's not devastating for them. This is not the DJ Jeffries is an incredible basketball prospect, but for a typical Kentucky class, he's just a guy. You know, they'll have four guys look just like him, and that are ranked higher than him. And so again, this isn't where Kentucky will go from here, probably from a four-star prospect to a five-star prospect. You know, that's probably the way this goes. In fact, the only reason I was told that Kentucky wanted to get that done early is to rip away a little of the we've talked about this before. Like, you know, Memphis was hiring Penny under the idea that he would be able to, you know, really get things done locally and get them done immediately. And he clearly did. He got Alex Lomax. Right. He got Tyler Harris. But I think on some level, Kentucky thought, well, if we're in there good with DJ Jeffries, if we can go ahead and get that one done, that's at least one player that Memphis won't be able to get who will then be recruiting for Memphis, you know, all summer with James Wiseman. Like, they would have DJ Jeffries recruiting for Kentucky as opposed to recruiting for Memphis. That's really the only reason that they accepted that commitment when they did. At least there's no other obvious reason that they would have, because they don't usually take commitments from, you know, four-star prospects as early as they did. And so, it obviously didn't go as planned, but, you know, John Calipari has had a top three, maybe even top two recruiting class literally every year he's been at Kentucky. So you don't have to shed a tear for him. He's going to be fine.
Does Kentucky even still, like, when somebody decommits from them, do they even still try to re-recruit that player, or do they go, we've got a million other guys we can take?
Well, I think it would. First off, this is very rare. I mean, I can't even remember a time when Kentucky got a decommitment. Like, perhaps there was one, but I don't remember it. If you go back to the Calipari days at Memphis, I know the Morris twins decommitted. Robert Dozier decommitted once, but then obviously ended up at Memphis anyway. So there's some history of John actually re-recruiting a player who decommitted, because Robert Dozier decommitted, then committed to Georgia. Then that's when Jim Herrick – this is actually a funny story. So Robert Dozier commits to Memphis, but then, like, signing day comes, and they, like, he won't sign anything, and he goes unsigned. He subsequently commits to the University of Georgia. He was from Lithonia, Georgia, I believe. And then that's when Jim Herrick was the coach there, and they got busted in that academic fraud case. So I can never prove this, but certainly Georgia, the people at Georgia, think the people at somebody connected to Memphis called Georgia's compliance office. This is what some people at Georgia think.
Yeah.
It's not what they know, but the people at Memphis knew that Robert Dozier had a fake or a highly questionable ACT score. I reported all this way back when the Derrick Rose thing went down. So Memphis was aware that Robert Dozier's standardized test score was, like, not okay. Mm. I mean, like, it was insanely high. Like, I think at the level of, like, Ivy League students get. And with all due respect to Robert Dozier, he ain't getting that kind of standardized test score on his own. Anybody would acknowledge that.
Yeah.
So as the story goes, I can't say it's somebody connected to Memphis, but what I can say is this. Somebody who was aware that Robert Dozier had a questionable standardized test score called Georgia's compliance office and said, hey, you guys need to be really careful enrolling this young man, given you're dealing with an academic fraud case now, because you could wind up in another one. And Georgia refused to enroll him, at which point he bounced back to the University of Memphis. That's how he ended up at Memphis. So the people at Georgia thought Memphis knew what was up with his standardized test score, and they're the ones that turned him into Georgia to make him where he couldn't enroll at Georgia, and then he'd have to bounce back to the University of Memphis. I don't know if that's true. I just know that that's what the people at Georgia thought at the time. but that, to circle back, that's an example of John re-recruiting a player that once decommitted from him. But there's not a long track record of that. And I guess I would say here in this case, they'll probably back off now because they wouldn't want to continue recruiting him and then have him pick somebody else in the end, because that just makes it even more complex than it was at this point. So I would imagine Kentucky and DJ Jeffries are done, and there'll be other schools that get involved, but I can't imagine a scenario where a young man from this area who played for Penny decommits from Kentucky to do anything other than play for Penny at Memphis.
So is Jeffries connected to James Wiseman in any way? Did they play on the same team?
They play grassroots together. So, I mean, they both play for you know, Team Penny / Bluff City each of the past 2 years. So they're connected in that way.
That's good.
That is good.
Yeah.
Right? And,
I mean, that is one of the reasons Kentucky wanted to get the – I mean, this is the way it works these days. I talked to Penny about this early in the month, you know, about how important it is to get early commitments, because then those players start recruiting for you.
Yeah.
And so from Kentucky's perspective, you get a commitment from DJ Jeffries. He spends the summer recruiting for you, specifically recruiting James Wiseman for you. In fact, DJ talked about this at Peach Jam, about how Malcolm Dandridge is recruiting James Wiseman to Memphis, and DJ says, I've been recruiting him to Kentucky. You know, like we're pulling him in different directions. Like, people ask, so do you ever talk to James? He's like, yes, I tell him to go to Kentucky. And Malcolm's telling him to go to Memphis. So, you know, Kentucky had an extra James Wiseman recruiter in the form of DJ Jeffries. That's the added value to having him. And I don't mean to discount what he is as a player. He's tremendous. But in addition to just being a player,
right,
he was a recruiter of DJ Jeffrey. I mean, of James Wiseman. And so now, I imagine Malcolm Dandridge is working on DJ Jeffries and James Wiseman. And if Jeffries commits whenever, then, you know, listen, these kids talk, particularly in an era where they watch NBA players, you know, team up with friends and you know, to form, you know, either just teams or super teams. You know, everything trickles down. When, when Kevin Durant became Kevin Durant, every 6'11 basketball player decided he wanted to play on the wing as opposed to be a big man.
Yeah.
Like Kevin Durant is largely responsible for the decline of traditional centers because nobody wants to be a center. It used to be if you're tall, you got to be a center because Patrick Ewing's a center and he's tall, because Akeem's a center and he's tall, because Mourning's a center and he's tall. Well, then Kevin Durant comes along. And kids say, well, hey, he's 6'11 and plays on the wing. Why can't I be a tall guy who plays on the wing? Allen Iverson wears a shooting sleeve. Everybody, you suddenly start seeing kids wear sleeves. The Fab Five wear long shorts. Then everybody starts wearing long shorts. Now some NBA players wear short shorts. So now you go to grassroots, events, and 16-year-olds are wearing short shorts. My point being this. When they watch LeBron, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh go team up, or James Harden and Chris Paul go team up, or any sort of, whenever Carmelo, joins wherever he's going, probably Houston, that trickles down to the high school level. Hey, why don't we, as friends, go play together like those friends in the NBA? And so I would imagine it's already started happening. But absolutely, if it hasn't, it will. James Wiseman and Malcolm Dandridge and D.J. Jeffries will at least discuss the possibility of going to the same school and playing college basketball together. And at this point, the only candidate for them to actually do that would be the University of Memphis.
Justin Moore is in studio with me. It's Brad, and Gary's on the phone with us because of the breaking news that D.J. Jeffries has decommitted from Kentucky. And so Gary, you're supposed to be on vacation, but
right.
I don't know how this happened.
It's like today was more of just a day to prepare for vacation. Tomorrow is actually... Tomorrow is actually like get on the airplane and fly to vacation. But it's all good. I'm happy to be here.
Gary's like, yeah, I'll take that day too. I can get ready. And then this just hits at 4 o'clock. Perfect. So over the weekend, Wiseman put out this sort of social media piece where he limits his schools down to 8 selections, which is a joke, right? I mean, this guy's – it's Kentucky and Memphis are the only two that he's probably looking at here.
Yeah. I mean, listen, even though we talk about these prospects like they're, 30-year-old men, they're kids, literally kids. And so I hesitate to mock it or laugh about it or roll my eyes up, at it publicly because, I can't imagine what it would be like to be 17 years old and the number one prospect in, basketball prospect your age in the entire world. And how intoxicating that might be, and how you might get carried away with lists and favorites and all that stuff. If a kid wants to make a list of 8 or 20, whatever. But I will say, nobody on that list other than Kentucky or Memphis is a serious candidate to get him. And honestly, even if I were on that list, like let's say I'm Roy Williams, and I'm the head coach at North Carolina, and we can recruit nationally because we're North Carolina, and James Wiseman has put me in his Final 8. I would not even use an official visit on him.
Wow.
Like, it's just a waste of time.
Waste of time,
I was talking with an SEC coach the other day at a game, and there's a 5-star kid from his state, and he isn't recruiting him at all. And I said, you would think, if I told you what state and what kid and what coach, on a very surface level, you'd be like, well, of course they're recruiting him. Why would they, the kid lives just 90 minutes from campus or two hours from campus, wherever it is. Mm-hmm. And this program is operating at it's going to be a preseason top 15 team, and they're rolling. Of course they're recruiting a 5-star player from their state. They're not recruiting him at all. And I asked why, and he said, waste of time. He's like, I can finish second, but that kid is either going here or there, but he ain't coming with us. And so, he can say he's listing 6 schools, but we know he's really only considering 2, and he's going to go to one of those 2. So what is the point? Like, it would be a waste of my time. And I thought that was really smart because I think sometimes coaches' instincts are if a 5-star prospect will say he's considering you, well, then you got to stay in there until he tells you, you're not. He's not.
Right.
But that is often a massive waste of time. I told a story once. I might have told it 20 times. I don't know. I've been talking on the radio a lot. but I was at a coaching clinic down in Gainesville several years back that Billy Donovan and Larry Shyatt put on every year. And I was invited to come down and speak. And so, I was one speaker, and then Billy Donovan was another, Brad Stevens was another. It was stupid. I didn't belong in the list, right? But I was there. And so I spoke, but I also listened to all the other speakers. And one of the things Billy did is he brought in addition to me and basketball coaches, he brought in a guy whose job is to travel around and he meets with companies' sales representatives. So like Brad, you might bring him in, this guy, to mm-hmm. talk to the 92.9 sales group.
I got you.
It's sort of yeah. a seminar on what to do, what not to do.
Right.
He's a sales guru, for lack of a better label. And so one of the guys, one of the things Billy recognized, and I thought this was really smart, was that being a sales rep is a lot like being a recruiter of a student athlete, in the sense that you're trying to sell yourself or your program or whatever, and you want to know when you can get a sale done, but you don't want to waste your time on things that aren't going to happen. And so the point the man made, one of the first questions he asked, he said, listen, I don't really operate in you guys' worlds, but it's very similar. And let me ask you this. How often when you think I'm going to get a kid, like right from the jump, you start recruiting, you go, hey, we are in there with this kid. I think we're going to get him. How often do you actually get the kid? And, you know, they went around the room and the coaches were like, yeah, you usually do get that kid. Like, you usually do get that kid unless one of the blue bloods sweeps in and takes him from you. And he said, okay, now let me ask this. When you are recruiting a kid, and he says he's interested in you, he takes your phone calls, and, you know, he might even come on a visit, but you kind of know that you're operating on the outskirts. Like he's got a leader, and then there's another blue blood involved, and then you're in that next category, but you ain't in the first category, not even close. How often do you get that kid? How often do you come from behind and get that kid? And the coaches were like, almost never. And he said, exactly. So don't waste your time. He said, the best thing you can get in recruiting and in sales is a quick yes. The second best thing you can get is a quick no. Uh-huh. The maybes that drag out end up costing you because you're spending resources on something that's never going to materialize. And in every minute you spend on this person that you know you're not getting is a minute you're not spending on somebody that you probably will. And that's my long-winded way of saying anybody who spends a minute on James Wiseman, not named John Calipari or Penny Hardaway, is wasting his time. You can maybe get a visit. You can maybe get him to return a text. You can maybe get him to, when he sits down at a table to announce his college decision, to put a hat next to the Kentucky hat and the Memphis hat to add to the drama. But that young man ain't going anywhere other than Kentucky or Memphis. And I swear to God, if I were North Carolina, Vanderbilt, any other school that's recruiting him, I would not even call him again. Like, even if I was on the list, I wouldn't even send the text message just to check in. It's over. Right. He will play at Memphis or he will play at Kentucky, and he will not play anywhere other than the one of those two places.
Do coaches ever catch heat? Like, if you're like one of those schools that are always on the list, not like Duke, because, I mean, Duke and Kentucky are kind of, they're safe.
Bloods.
But, like, if you're one of those teams that are, like, always on the list, but you're not even recruiting the guy and you know you're not getting him, do coaches ever catch heat from their fans or, like, the media be like, how come he never gets these five stars? He never closes the deal.
Or this one, do they say, take us off of that so that we don't lose out and look
right.
like idiots?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when Dave Lado got the Virginia job, because I wrote a story about that story I just told you about the sales rep and all that. I ended up writing it at some point. And I was asking other coaches, like, who's really good at not wasting their time on recruits that they know they can't get? They just go in and they identify high-level guys that they can get, and then they get them. But they do not waste any time on guys that they can't get, even if the player is saying, hey, I want you to recruit me. I'm considering you. And the answer I got over and over again, and this is when he was coaching at Pitt, but it was Jamie Dixon. He said, Jamie Dixon's the best. Like, he knows exactly who to recruit.
Right.
He knows exactly where not to waste his time. He's really good at that. I said, okay, who's maybe a little delusional? Like, they're in there with five stars, but they just never get them because, like, they're going to finish third to Duke in North Carolina or Duke in Indiana or whatever. And they said, Dave Leto at Virginia. They said it actually, I think he had been fired by then. They said it actually cost him his job. So I had multiple coaches say, go look at all the five stars Virginia was in with when Dave was coaching there, and then go look at how many they actually got. And then go back and ask yourself, did they really have a chance with that kid? Did they really have a chance right. with that kid? Did they really have a chance? And it was like, no, no, no. But he spent a lot of time. He could not walk away from the five-star who was mildly interested in him, even if he knew or should have known deep down. At the end of the day, you're not beating Duke for that kid. At the end of the day, you're not beating North Carolina for that kid. And so, yes, it does become a thing when you get involved with it, you know, all of these prospects, and then you don't get any of them, or you don't get but a small percentage of them. It starts to reflect poorly on you. It's like asking out 10 different girls, and you only get one to go out with you. You know, like you know, it can be a little humbling, yeah. You know, and so.
Hey, there's play, it's, called, being, it's called playing the odds.
I call it a percentage player, too, JR. Yeah, yeah. It's a yeah, percentage but, player. You know what, that's how I met my wife. Just ask enough people.
All of my dating was pre-Tinder and pre
yeah, a different deal for us.
I didn't really understand the philosophy swipe. Of hey, let's just swipe right on 20 girls and see if we can get one popping.
Can you
right?
imagine?
I got single friends now who like really would just swipe right on 20 different girls just to see if they can get something to do tonight.
So, smart.
I didn't live
until
that
I was
life
just in Vegas.
when I was in the dating world. You actually had to like walk up to somebody face to face and deal with it. And I was never really good with that unless I had a little too much to drink. And so. Back to the initial point, absolutely there are times when coaches, a kid says, hey, no, I'm still considering this school, but the coach stops recruiting him anyway because he's like, what is the point? We don't want it out there that we're still pursuing him because we're not going to get him, and then it's going to look like somebody beat us, or we're recruiting somebody the same position, and we don't want that kid to think that we're recruiting somebody at his same position. We want that kid to think he's our priority. So there are plenty of times when coaches and coaching staffs pull off of players, even if the player puts them on a list because they don't want it to be publicly perceived that they're involved when they know that they're not really actually involved.
I
will say John Calipari was pretty good about this too at Memphis. Now at Kentucky, you can get involved with anybody.
Right.
Like there's a handful of schools where there is no such thing as being delusional when it comes to recruiting. You know, at Kentucky,
Duke
right. I would say North Kansas. Carolina, now that the NCAA cloud has been removed, that really might be it. Everybody else sort of has to take their shots either regionally or, you know, does a kid play for a certain shoe company.
Right.
But Duke can in Kentucky certainly, and I think probably North Carolina, can sort of transcend anything. Like they can go anywhere in the country and recruit any kid – affiliated with any school does not matter. They can be involved and have a realistic chance to get anybody. But at Memphis, you can't do that. And John even recognized that at Memphis. And so I know when Brandon Wright was in school at, in suburban Nashville, he told me when he was in high school, because I was at like Nike All-America camp in Indianapolis, if I remember correctly, he was like, yeah, I'm definitely considering Memphis. Instant school. I love Coach Cal. You know, it's just 2.5-3 hours from my home. And I can remember immediately going back into the gym and sitting with John. And I said, hey, are you guys recruiting Brandon Wright? And he said, no. And I said, well, he just said that he's considering you. You know, it's in-state school. He loves you. And John's like, we're not recruiting him. He's like, don't put it out there that we're recruiting him. We're not recruiting him. And I said, well, why not? And he said, because we can't get him. He's a suburban kid with two-parent home. Like, that kid ain't going to the University of Memphis. That kid's either going to North Carolina. I think he actually said this. He's going to North Carolina, or he's going to Duke, or he's just staying home and playing at Vanderbilt. But, like a suburban Nashville kid with those types of options from a two-parent home is not – I can't recruit that kid to the University of Memphis. And so there's an example of, hey, this five-star prospect just 3 hours away from the University of Memphis is saying that he's – considering the University of Memphis, but the Memphis staff said, we're not even going to waste our time because at the end of the day, we can make his top five, maybe we can make his top three, but there is no runner-up ribbon in recruiting. You either get the kid or you don't. It's an all-or-nothing deal. And when you know that it's almost certainly going to be nothing, your wife's not to waste your time.
I mean, this sort of takes us back 4 months ago when Penny got this job. This is something that fans are reveling in here in Memphis. I mean, right, JR?
Yeah,
because like when
totally.
You're not just getting DJ Jeffries, you're getting DJ Jeffries from
Kentucky.
Cal. If this all goes the way we think it's going to go, I mean, that's the biggest part of this, right? I mean, DJ Jeffries, not just getting a player of DJ Jeffries' caliber and then Penny coming in and changing the program and hiring Mike Miller and then getting three stars. You're getting DJ Jeffries from Kentucky if you get him. I mean, that's why everybody's so pumped about this.
Well, I mean, it all matters. You know, this is a program that has really, it's not even hyperbole, hit historical lows, you know, over the past couple of years. You know, not to beat a dead horse to even more of a
We had
death,
a couple of years to do that, Gary. We passed that.
But, like, you know, recruiting was at an all-time or a modern era low. Attendance was at a modern era low. The on-the-court product was a modern era low. I mean, it was just as bad as I spent a year telling you it was. And so Memphis fans are thirsty for something to be excited about. And Penny has provided that in every way you can provide it in advance of a first season. He's been visible. He's been engaging. He's been aggressive. He's been savvy. He's gotten things done in recruiting. He got things done in a matter of weeks in recruiting that the previous staff couldn't get done in 2 years. And so this is just the latest example of that. And I shouldn't say he's gotten anything done yet, because that indicates that he went, you know, and got the kid to decommit. And I mm-hmm. don't know that it went down that way. But certainly, like, DJ Jeffries was made aware one way or another, if he wants to be a University of Memphis Tiger, he can be a University of Memphis Tiger. And I'll be surprised at this point if he's not, you know. Now, in recruiting, mm-hmm. there are surprises all the time. So, I tried to tell our buddy John Martin several years ago.
Yeah, the percentage player.
You don't ever speak in absolutes about recruiting. You know, you'll just wind up making yourself look stupid. Or at least wrong. Mm-hmm. But with this one, given everything I know and given the way this went down, I will be surprised if DJ Jeffries isn't committed to the University of Memphis at some point, because anything other than that really doesn't make any sense.
Right.
Like, you know, you were going to Kentucky to play for John Calipari. You don't back out of that to just go to Mississippi State. You know, you don't back out of that to
well, that'd be
to
a coup.
Play. To go play at
that
Missouri.
Would be a coup.
You imagine?
Yeah. you don't.
What,
you
Ben
don't,
Hallen
you,
doing work?
the only reason you do what DJ Jeffries did today is if you've deep down just basically decided you just want to stay home and you want to be you want to play with some of your some of your friends from recent years, and you want to play for the guy who spent last summer coaching you. There's really no other reason to do this.
Is there,
is there going to be, after all these dudes that are coming back to Memphis or decommitting, or even the ones we're getting that are all awesome, is there going to be what's the scholarship count going on over at the University of Memphis?
I think I looked. I had it on. Maybe four is the night. It doesn't matter what the number is.
They'll make
is.
Room.
Like, they'll figure it out. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I was talking again. I was talking to a coach in Vegas the other day, and I actually asked him, like, hey, so how many scholarships, because I really didn't know. I wasn't that familiar with his roster. And I said, how many scholarships are you going to use in 2019? And he was like, who knows? Like, he's like, you never know anymore. He's like, listen, two kids can just transfer for no reason.
Unbelievable.
You know, another kid can become an academic casualty. The other kid can enter the draft to go undrafted. Another kid might be a lottery pick. You just don't know. And so coaches don't spend – I'll tell you this. Fans spend way more time stressing about scholarship numbers than coaches do. It'll work itself out. All you know, you go out and accept commitments from players that you want, and if you've got to work it out, you'll work it out. And with Memphis, they've got so many, different options of how to handle things. They could take Penny's son and take him off scholarship if they wanted to. Or if they needed to, I know that Ryan Boyce is supposed to be on scholarship, but you certainly don't have to do that. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's not like there's some signed contract. You don't have to do it. If you want to run somebody off, that's not hard to do. Sometimes kids just decide that, you know, the playing time's not going to be there for them, so they bounce. or, and this happens just as often, coaches make it very clear to a player that the playing time's not going to be there.
Right.
So, like, well, do you really? Hey, listen, yeah, hey, you, we love you, and we'd love for you to be here, but, like, you're not going to play. So, like, do you really want to spend your entire next year on the bench? Because that's what it's going to be. You know, like, why not go somewhere where you can actually get on the court? I know you're a player. I know you want to play. And so they'll make it sound like they're doing them a favor. They're really just running the kid off. And so I'll tell you this. If they can get a commitment from DJ Jeffries, they'll take it. They can get a commitment from James Wiseman, they'll take it. They can get a commitment from Matthew Hurt, they'll take it. They can get a commitment from Trendon Wofford, they'll take it. They can get a commitment from CJ Walker, they'll take it. And you might look up in March, April, and they'll be three over the scholarship limit. And they'll figure out what to do. Hell, Nevada took commitments from kids after this season when it looked like they were going to lose the Martin twins.
Yeah.
And when the Martin twins decided to both come back to school, because this was the whole thing people kept talking about, well, if the Martin twins come back, they're one scholarship over now. What are they going to do? You know who never worried about that for a second? Eric Musselman.
The coach.
He was like, it's the Martin. he's like, I'm going to recruit to prepare for the Martin twins leaving, so if they do, it's not as big of a hit. And if they decide to come back, woohoo! It'll be awesome, and I'll figure out what to do. And so the Martin twins came back, and then some nobody on the team transferred, and it's all good. And that is the way it works. I cannot remember. It's a little bit like APR. Everybody, you know, fans are always stressing about the APR.
It's grades, yep. Right.
Except, like, how many big-time programs actually get banned from the NCAA tournament for APR problems?
None.
It's one, yeah. Ever. It's Connecticut. That's it. One, right. Ever. It doesn't have, one way or another, these big-time schools figure it out. And it's the same thing with the scholarship numbers. One way or another, it gets figured out. I can't remember a time when a college coach was sitting, you know, in June and completely, like, out of options to get down to the number 13. Like, they figure it out. And so that would be my advice to most fans. Don't ever worry about the APR, because it almost certainly ain't gonna hurt your team. And don't ever worry about scholarship numbers, because it almost certainly is not going to be a problem. Everything gets figured out when it needs to get figured out.
Well, Gary, thank you so much for joining us on your vacation. Yeah. I know you have some super important packing to do, but we appreciate the insight.
I do. Thanks for letting me. I didn't mean to barge in like this.
No, I appreciate it. Made my life easier.
You're breaking news. And I will tell you, the early returns, the you know, when people aren't used to hosting a radio show, like the one thing you notice very quickly isn't about what they know or don't know. It's how they sound, whether they sound comfortable or sound way uncomfortable. My point being this, you sounded really comfortable when
thanks.
Mic turned on at 4 o'clock. And that's a great first step.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.